Last summer, Epic Games, the maker of the wildly popular game Fortnite, stopped paying the 30% fee to Apple on the App Store and created a way for users to bypass the App Store's payment system. Apple then kicked Epic off the App Store, claiming that this violated their guidelines. Now, Epic is suing Apple for antitrust violations in a case that started on Monday and is expected to play out over the next few weeks. Here to tell us about what's at stake in this case and how it's likely to affect consumers is Addie Robertson, a senior reporter at The Verge who covers tech and policy. Addie, welcome to the show.
Hi.
You've been following this case pretty closely. Can you lay out kind of the big arguments on both sides?
Yeah. So on Epic's side, the argument is that Apple has a monopoly over basically iOS, which is this thriving ecosystem with huge numbers of devices. And because of this, it can force developers to run through its App Store, which has, it's arguing, stringent requirements, but doesn't really provide that much benefit. And that extends to in-app purchases, which are sort of their own market distinct from the larger app market, and take a 30% for big companies, and after this lawsuit, a 15% cut for smaller apps. And this, they're arguing, outside Epic, this is widely called the Apple tax. And they want either the judge to say that this in-app purchase processing system is specifically a monopoly and they should be able to use their own payment processing system. And their bigger ask is that Apple should have to let them let people load independent app stores like the Epic Games Store, which Epic is sort of trying to get off the ground. It's losing a lot of money right now, but they're hoping that it becomes a big part of their business later. So that's Epic's side of the lawsuit. Apple's side is that, in their words, this is an assault on the iPhone. That their argument is that the reason people choose the iPhone over something like Android is that it offers this more secure, more private, more kind of curated and directed experience. And that that only happens because Apple can control exactly what goes on the App Store. That means that people are safer from malware, that they can always expect a consistent experience. Unlike what Epic is saying, they say, look, we actually spend a lot of time making sure that what happens on the App Store is all on the up and up. So this is now going to court, and it's delving into a really wide array of issues, from developing what it takes to develop a web app versus an app for the App Store, just what Apple's process for getting apps into the store looks like, and for a while, the definition of a game.
You know, this is an antitrust case, and I think for those of us who may have learned the broad outlines of antitrust in school, you think about something like Standard Oil, which was the great big company that controlled all, you know, U.S. oil. This is a very different thing when you talk about applying antitrust rules to technology. How does that work?
So a slightly more recent comparison is the big antitrust case against Microsoft at the turn of the 21st century, where a lot of the big sort of thing that has changed is that a lot of products are free now, or freemium, that say Fortnite is a thing that you don't really pay for when you start the game. And that also there's this big sort of debate over right now, the sort of standard for a monopoly that's harmful is that there's some kind of harm for consumers, which is what there's a lot of time dedicated to proving in court. And that's also come up a lot as a larger debate. But right now, the big argument is Apple is a monopoly. It is a monopoly specifically over the iOS ecosystem that it runs, and that it is suppressing competitors and it's causing harm to consumers because it's running that store poorly. This is, just to be clear, kind of controversial, the idea that you have a monopoly over a single product that you own. There is precedent for it, but it's a little bit of an uphill battle for Epic.
What's at stake for Apple here? What's their worst case scenario?
Their worst case scenario is that Apple has to work like Android, that you should be able to sideload an app onto your iPhone the same way that you can just download something and put it on your Android phone. That right now you can do that, but it's very difficult. You have to jailbreak your phone. Apple very strongly discourages it. So Apple loses control of its ecosystem. And even in the less extreme scenario that Apple doesn't get to, say, charge for in-app purchases anymore, that's a huge part of its revenue. A lot of apps, if you think about the number of big apps that are subscription-based, if suddenly Apple loses all of the people who sign up through iOS and that 30% or 15% cut that they give, that's a really huge hit to Apple's business model.
You know, one of the things I find interesting is how this case dovetails with Apple's marketing. Apple has really said, we are the company that provides the best privacy protections for users, that every app in our app store is up to our standards. It feels to me like this case, separate and apart from the question with Epic, also kind of strikes at the heart of how Apple sells itself.
Yeah, which is a big part of what this trial is going to be, both in the court and the court of public opinion. So on Apple's side, it's pointing out, look, we have this gigantic review apparatus. We can make sure that people have a great experience. And then Epic's going to be citing, it hasn't really come up in the trial yet, but it's going to be calling up executives to talk about what the review process looks like. It's got some testimony from earlier that there's a pretty great quote that the App Store review process is like the pretty lady who's meeting you at the airport with a lei rather than an actual security guard, or that it's like bringing a butter knife to a gunfight. So those quotes are probably going to come up in court, and there's going to be a very large debate over the whole security process. Conversely, we've had a little bit of discussion about how it's actually not necessarily that hard for developers to create some kind of system by which people can pay outside, that you can open up Safari and go to a website and pay a lower price for some apps than if you just go through the App Store. And Apple's arguing that, look, okay, we obviously have a payment system that's an alternative, just go to Safari.
Let's talk about what it means for a company to get kicked off the App Store.
Yeah. So right now, if you want to have an app on the store, a native app, which is the sort of thing that you install and it stays on your phone, as opposed to a web app, which you'd open as a web page, you submit a product for review to Apple, and then it reviews it against its developer guidelines, and then you put it on the store. And then after that, you have to use certain Apple processes, like you have to enable Apple sign-ins under certain circumstances, and you have to use a special system for processing payments through it that gives it a cut. And then Apple is going to review all the product changes after that, and it might give people feedback. The way that Epic got its payment processing system on the store was through something called a hotfix, which was a sort of much smaller and less strictly examined change. And they kind of snuck it in, a thing that Apple's made a really big deal out of at the trial, that they added this code and then they had a switch on their servers that they flipped a while later and turned on the system. Something that Apple has called dishonest and lacking integrity and compared to cheating in Fortnite.
You know, this case is sort of one plank in a larger antitrust push against Apple. How would you describe the other kind of aspects of what Apple does that people and regulators take issue with?
So a lot of the fight over Apple is about the App Store, and it's about sort of varying aspects of it. There are a bunch of other app makers that are mad at Apple, and some of them have also appeared in this trial. Just the day before the trial started, the EU regulators brought a complaint on behalf of Spotify, which is complaining specifically about in-app purchase prices in the music space. So there's this whole array of apps that's outside Fortnite and gaming, where there are complaints about in-app purchases or them not being able to offer specific features because they go against the developer guidelines, or people not being able to get things like alternative stores. And that's come up in Congress because there's this really large push to regulate what they call big tech, which is basically Apple, Google, Facebook, and Amazon. And there are very different antitrust cases against all of them, but there has been a really big report. They're considering overhauling the rule. They're especially considering examining the consumer harm model. And if Epic loses this case, there is a reasonable chance that Congress is able to spin that into, look, there was a really strong case and it didn't go anywhere. Antitrust law is broken.
I think a lot of the details of this case or what different regulators are doing can be confusing for consumers. But at the end of the day, a lot of the law underpinning this is about consumer harm. So how could the outcome of this case affect people who use the App Store or people who play Fortnite?
So the really obvious thing is that if Epic wins this case, Fortnite goes back on the App Store, in either goes back on the App Store or goes back on the iPhone through some other method. And
11-year-olds across the U.S. will be delighted.
Yes, but they have to pretend they're 13 because that's the minimum age for Fortnite. So that's the really obvious proximate conclusion. If Apple really loses big, then you can expect a pretty different model for the iPhone, that you can install apps in a different way, and that it's maybe easier for you to get lower prices for specific apps if they offer them without the 30% cut, without doing something like going through the website. So that's maybe a little bit easier. If you really like the App Store model and you sort of like that the iPhone is this very curated experience, then you might not be as happy. And in a larger sense, this could have a sort of effect on future cases with anything that's a sort of locked down store. So if there's any other device that works too much like the App Store model, then that could change as well. It's not necessarily clear what those would be. Apple's arguing that pretty much any game console is a monopoly under Epic's claims. So you would have to completely change how, like, the Nintendo Switch and the PlayStation and the Xbox work. But that's not necessarily clear. That's a thing that they're arguing about in court.
Do you think it's appropriate to look at this case in the context of sort of the broader backlash against big tech, on behalf of consumers or also lawmakers? Or is it a separate thing with two companies that are competing?
It's definitely part of a very long string of lawsuits by developers against Apple. There was a big class action suit that went to the Supreme Court a couple of years ago from developers who were complaining about Apple's practices. And it's arguably Epic was able to bring this lawsuit because it could muster a lot of public participation, that it could, partly because Fortnite's super popular. They prepared this 1980 Fortnite commercial after they filed the suit that was trying to sort of muster support. But also that it's happening during a period where they know that they're going to get a lot of people saying this is part of a larger movement, that there are a lot of developers that they can muster to their side, that there are a lot of Congress people who are potentially looking at this case, and that even if Apple wins, there's going to be a really hard look at the Apple tax.
Addie Robertson is a senior reporter at The Verge who covers tech and policy. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.